Good morning. So good to see you all in here in this beautiful and cozy sanctuary. And also I see many have come and joined us on Zoom. And I pray that all of us will have a special moment this morning to have fellowship with each other and fellowship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, that we may receive the spiritual nurture in every possible way. A civil servant was sitting in his office when, out of boredom, he decided to see what was in an old filing cabinet. Poking through the dusty content, he came across an old brass lamp and thought that it would look nice on his mental piece at home. So he took it home, and while polishing it, a genie suddenly appeared from the lamp and granted him three wishes. "I wish for an ice-cold beer right now," he began modestly, "to help me with my next two wishes." He received his beer and drank it, then turned his thought to his second wish. "I wish to be on an island inhabited only by beautiful women." As if by magic, he found himself on a tropical island surrounded by gorgeous women. "And what is your third wish?" asked the genie. The civil servant thought for a second and said, "I wish I've never have to work again." And poop, he was back in his office. Being lazy and idle can be problematic. Do you know how David got involved in a wrongful relationship with Bathsheba and saw seed of bloodshed in his family? While his military chief and his servants were busy fighting against the Ammonites, David remained in Jerusalem. He had little to do, idling on his couch until late in the afternoon. He then walked upon the roof of his house and discovered Bathsheba taking a bath. Had he been with his soldiers, his affair with Bathsheba could have been prevented. On the other hand, being overly busy can also bring challenges. For instance, a workaholic may have high productivity, but his relationship might be at risk. Spiritually speaking, we can be busy serving others and doing God's work, yet fail to find time to reflect upon who we are, the very purpose of our mission, and our relationship with God. The gospel lesson teaches us the importance of quiet time for spiritual cultivation. We are very familiar with Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. We tend to focus on the remarkable miracle and overlook other important aspects. Let's examine what happened before and after the miracle. The disciples had just returned from their mission trip, but they were still busy tending to many people. Realizing that they had no break to eat, Jesus wanted to take them to a remote place for rest. So Jesus and the disciple boarded a boat, but the crowd figured out where they were headed and arrive at their destination before Jesus and the disciples. We do not know exactly where they were going, aside from it being near a small fishing village called Bethsaida on the northeastern side of Galilee. Apparently, it was a remote location. Note that the phrase, "a lonely place," in a Revised Standard Version, is repeated three times. Jesus said, "Come away by yourself to a lonely place." They went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves. The disciples also mentioned, this is a lonely place. Where can we find food? Yet when the crowd showed up unexpectedly, Jesus readily served them. The gospel states that the whole crowd ate and was satisfied. Even though Jesus and the disciples were extremely tired and desperately needed a break, their service was not done haphazardly. But the story didn't end there. Verses 45 and 46 state, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. Look at those verses a little closely. And after he took leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Right after the miracle, Jesus did not hesitate to make his disciples get into the boat. This illustrates how strong Jesus' intention was. He compelled his disciples to board the boat. Generally, Jesus was meek and gentle and did not take such forceful actions. However, he did here. Another indication of Jesus' intention for the disciples to have a break is found in those verses, which state that as he urged the disciples into the boat, Jesus dismissed the crowd. He did not want the disciples to be surrounded by the crowd any longer, so he took it upon himself to say goodbye to the crowd. Once the crowd dispersed, Jesus went up the mountain to pray. And of course, the break did not last long. In the evening, Jesus was with the disciples on the boat again and went to a place called the Gennesaret, where he healed sick people. Jesus and the disciples maintained a very busy schedule, but see what Jesus was trying to do and did. He still found time for a quiet place for rest and prayer. Let us imagine ourselves in Jesus' situation. What would we choose between feeding 5,000 hungry people, actually 5,000 men, counting all the people, it would be doubled easily, women and children. Between feeding that many people and spending quiet time with God, what would we choose? The size of the task is much bigger than having a personal time, of course. Wouldn't we choose to feed the crowd and forget the other? The Bible also supports our position. One of my favorite Bible verses when I answer the call is Revelation 2:10, which said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus was extremely busy and even worked on the Sabbath, saying, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." The Shema, which summarizes the Old Testament, instructs us to serve the Lord with all our hearts, mind, and strength. Serving the Lord to the best of our ability is the right thing to do. Naturally, we often neglect to have quiet time for rest and spiritual nurture. But Jesus was mindful of it and forced the disciples to do it. People say it is very important to maintain a balance between work and rest. And this is indeed true for our spiritual lives. We are always busy, and our task never ends. Even when we slow down, our hearts stay busy, constantly thinking about tasks. Giving ourselves break by being alone with God does not come easy. It's a big challenge, as was the case with the disciples and Jesus. During my meditation few weeks back, I was playing Fairest Lord Jesus on the piano, the one that we just sang. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, thou of God and man the Son, thee I will cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy and crown. I suddenly noticed that the old hymnal that I was using had a subtitle for the song that says, Crusader's Hymn. In our hymnal, it doesn't say that, but in the old hymnal that I use in the piano, it says that, Crusader's Hymn. So I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that Franz Liszt, a Hungarian composer, you know Franz Liszt, very famous composer, he used the tune of the song for a crusader's march in his oratorio called The Legend of Saint Elizabeth. That's why in our hymnal it says Saint Elizabeth. It doesn't say Crusader's Hymn, but that's why it was related to Saint Elizabeth. I often use the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus, for my meditation because it helps me focus on Jesus and calms me down. And I look at the subtitle, first time ever, I realize that the subtitle perfectly fits the hymn. We are crusaders, Christian soldiers, who engage in the battle against the forces of evil in the world. The war we are involved in never ends. Never. However, when we become too busy fighting, we forget the one who has called us to battle. That's irony, but that is true. A crucial task of the crusader is not just to engage in the battle out there, but is to also pause from the battle and reflect on Christ for strength. James Dobson, the founder of James Dobson's Family Institute, shares the following story in his book, Coming Home. Several months ago, I talked to a man who described one of the most painful experiences of his life. When he was 17 years old, he was a star on his high school football team. But his father, a very successful man in the city, was always too busy to see him play. The final game of the season came around, which was the state championship. The boy was desperate to have his dad there. The night of the big game, he was on the field warming up. When he looked into the stadium, just in time to his father arrive with two other men, each wearing a business suit. They stood talking together for a moment or two and then left. The man who told me this story is now 58 years of age, yet tears still stream down his cheek as he recalled a long ago moment. It's been 40 years since that night, yet the rejection and pain are as vivid as ever. I was struck again by the awesome influence of a father has in the lives of his children. My friend's father died not long ago, and as he stood by his dead body in the mortuary, he said, Dad, I never really knew you. We could have shared so much love together, but you never had time for me. In this case, the son was like our heavenly father, wanting to spend time with us. And we are like the father, always busy and lacking time to get to know our heavenly father and build relationship with him. Having quiet time is very important task for us crusaders. What do we do in our quiet time? Just think about ourselves. Think about where we are in life. Think about where we are going. Look at the things of the present from other angles. Think about our relationship with Jesus. Or just simply say, Lord, I love you. So, as I conclude the message, I'd like us to have to sing this one together. And I'd like to recommend, as I often do, to sing this one during your quiet time. And just think about Jesus and just simply say, I love you. Let's sing once more in quietness.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be your sweet, sweet.